We are joined by a senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. He is also the host of the Full 48 podcast. And you know he's a good friend of the program. He is back. Howard Beck. Hey, Howard, how are you?
Doing well, Romy. How are you?
Good. Great to visit. Howard, let me start with the LA Lakers, and it's good to have you back. I mean, most teams have played, Howard, 12 or 13 games, roughly, which means we're about a month into the season. The Lakers have the best record in the league. Their defense has been electric. Let me start right there, because that's surprising. It's a small sample size, but how impressed have you been with the way the Lakers are playing D?
Yeah, it's funny because if the question were, you know, hey, the Lakers are doing really well. They've got LeBron and AD. Are you surprised? You'd sit there and you'd laugh and say, of course. Like, this is exactly what you expect from the Lakers, that they're going to be dominant when they have two stars. LeBron reviving himself after last season's injury. Anthony Davis, obviously an elite player. But there were legitimate questions, Jim, about not the fit. Those two were always going to be fine. I think there were legitimate questions coming in, answered well so far, about supporting cast, about defense, and to an extent about whether LeBron could still summon the old MVP version of himself in year 17 and now just a month shy of his 35th birthday. I was one who still thought, you know what, dude is still number one until we are definitively shown otherwise, until LeBron either literally or figuratively falls off a cliff. I'm not ready to put Kawhi Leonard or anybody else over him. So as far as I was concerned, I had no doubts about his ability to summon that level again, especially with Anthony Davis to help to basically take some of that burden off, to have another star to play off of. Last year was not going to be a true indicator. But what they've done defensively is, in fact, the most impressive and the most important part of this, because it shows that on nights that they maybe don't have it all offensively. And look, they don't have a great third option. They've got two elite guys. The drop-off is pretty steep after that, but it shows that they can still hang in games because they've got the ability to lock guys down.
Howard Beck joining us. I think these are all valid questions, and you addressed a lot of that. I got to say, though, Howard, I've been surprised by a lot of things over the course of my career, over the course of my life. I'm not sure I've ever been more surprised than what I've seen Dwight Howard do in his return with the Lakers. I mean, I was all in favor of them signing him because they needed size, they needed depth, but did you ever see him or them having the kind of impact that they are right now with Dwight Howard?
No, and listen, Jim, admittedly, and I will say this outright, one, I wasn't sold on the DeMarcus Cousins signing even before he had gotten hurt, because there's always a little bit of other stuff that comes with signing him. And then when they essentially out of desperation turned to Dwight, like everybody else, I kind of rolled my eyes and laughed a little, like, are you kidding me? After the way this went the first time? And yeah, that's years ago and many, many teams ago for Dwight Howard. But I don't think Dwight Howard had demonstrated to either us or, frankly, to NBA teams, to players and executives, that he had significantly evolved in all the years since he was last with the Lakers. And, you know, every team is just so ready to move on from him that I thought this one's probably doomed too. So that all said, all the credit in the world to Dwight Howard and to the Lakers for making this work, to Dwight for just playing a role, not complaining about anything, not talking about his touches or needing to be a post guy or anything else. He's just doing his job, playing it to the hilt, whether that's protecting the rim, knocking guys on their butts occasionally, setting screens, and just being a good teammate. I mean, that's the thing. For all of Dwight Howard's accolades and achievements in the course of his career, and it's hard to remember now, but there was a time when he was elite and respected for it. At this stage, just being a good teammate, just playing whatever role he has to the hilt, and he's done that. And that 1-2 punch between him and JaVale McGee is working out pretty well. You're going to have a lot of minutes where it's Anthony Davis at the five anyway. They've found a formula that really works. And look, it's early, and we're all going to get carried away. But I do think that what the Lakers are doing is largely sustainable.
I was going to say, Howard Beck joining us. It is early. People will get carried away. They have not played the toughest schedule ever. But does it feel to you like a team that can legitimately contend for an NBA championship?
Yes. Listen, I going into the season on paper, like a lot of people, I thought the Clippers had the stronger team on paper. I still think so. We have yet to see the Clippers at, you know, full capacity with Kawhi and Paul George out there together for an extended run to see exactly what their full potential is. But the Clippers brought back, you know, a solid core that won 48 games without any stars at all. And they've got a guy in Lou Williams that can drop 25-30 on any given night. I think the overall just construction of the Clippers, just they're deeper and more versatile, but that doesn't mean it's by by miles. The Lakers, I think it's going to go down to the end, and if, let's hope that the playoff bracket actually sets up this way. It should be Lakers Clippers for the Western Conference Finals, if everything's right in the universe, and that'll be a lot of fun. But absolutely, the Lakers have the ability to get to the finals and to win the championship.
That might be the best thing ever. Lakers Clippers come out of the West. We're joined by Howard Beck. So Howard, if Dwight Howard's reinvention is just incredible, what would you say about Andrew Wiggins? Now, Andrew Wiggins has been a Twitter target for NBA fans for a long time now, but he's had six straight games of 25 or more, 30 or more in four of his last five. What's more miraculous, the reinvention of Dwight Howard or of Andrew Wiggins? And is this sustainable?
I think I'm actually almost more surprised by Dwight's reinvention, only because we had years to say, we know who this guy is. There's just, you get to that stage of your career, there is no reinvention at that point usually. But with Wiggins, we forget how young he was when he came in and how young he still is. And yeah, look, once you're 5-6 years in to a career, probably you are who you are. But I always say there's a difference in a guy who's underachieved, and I only say that because of obviously the draft position, but you can underachieve because maybe you didn't exactly have all the skills that we thought you had on the day you were drafted, or something else happened, injuries or whatever. In his case, there was never any doubt about Andrew Wiggins having the skill level, the ability, the talent, the athleticism, the body type, all the requisite stuff was there. It was more a matter of, will he take the right shots at the right time? Can he cut down on the bad possessions, the empty possessions? Can he be a little bit better defender? Can he be a little more dedicated at that end? And credit to Wiggins himself, credit to Ryan Saunders and his staff and to that team for finding the best version of him. It was still, it was there. There were numbers that were there, and they were empty numbers for a lot of years. But by just taking smarter shots, cutting out a lot of the mid-range, driving to the basket more, trying to make his game more of the modern version of drives to the rim or three-point shots and eliminating the long twos, passing the ball more, his assists are up, everything. All these little things, none of these are like dramatic leaps. It's just he tailored his game and all the stuff that was already there to make it more effective. And, I think it's sustainable.
So quickly, Howard, we talked about small sample size. The Knicks are 3-10, lots of drama already. What are they? Where are they as an organization? What exactly are the Knicks trying to accomplish?
Man, I wish I had a decent answer there, Jim, or one that could contain within like 2 minutes instead of 3 hours. But, It just feels like the same old Knicks. I mean, this is like every year we could have this discussion, or at a minimum every couple of years.
And we do.
That's the sad part of it. I feel for, as you know, I live here in New York. I'm surrounded by Knicks fans. I feel for them. It's torturous. The fact is, they struck out this summer. Sure, they made some decent short-term signings that don't lock them up for the long-term, all that stuff. You still just don't have enough talent here, though. They don't have a starting caliber point guard, and I know Dennis Smith Jr. had a good game last week against his old team, the Mavericks, but Dennis Smith Jr., Elfrid Payton, who's been hurt, Frank Ntilikina, they don't have a point guard. They don't have enough shooting. They have, as we know, too many power forwards. The one franchise star that you thought they could build around was Porzingis, and they traded him away last February for, as I've called it, a bag of magic beans. They just don't have anything to show for year after year of losing, other than, hey, we've got some flexibility in the cap, and we've got a couple extra picks that we got from Dallas in the Porzingis deal. But in the near term, there's just not enough there. A lot of people are firing at Fizdale now. I think that while there's plenty to pick apart in the way he has handled his team, ultimately he was not dealt a very good hand by this front office. What's the end game? Where does this go? I mean, as per usual, it feels like it's just going to be one crisis after another. And, I never like to predict or say that people are going to lose jobs, but that's the reality of this league. And it feels like this is one of those seasons where by the end, by next spring, probably there are going to be a few faces changed once again.
Howard Beck, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report, host of the Full 48 podcast, good friend of the program. Howard, great job. Way to close the show for us. Nicely done. You want to come into Hooters every Monday all season and play Monday Night Moneyball. You are just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies, a new chance to win every week, and Hooters girls to make every game more fun. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. My thanks to Charles Robinson. Back in Hour 1, Eli Drinkwitz, App State head coach, Howard Beck, Bleacher Report.